Hey guys, Kyle back with KB Shorts, episode 9. So this will be a college basketball special with the boys. They're going to be on here in a little bit. I just wanted to also get out for the listeners my UFC 299 reactions and what's next after that fight card. Just because I started this podcast basically by doing, UFC. So I always like to get that out there and make sure that's out. But I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to do my top 6 seed rankings before the conference tournament start. So there's a couple things going on this week. So for this episode, this will be like we talked about in KB and the boys. Each of us got 2 conferences, and we're going to predict those conferences, see who gets the most right. Me and Fee are also doing a conference. Obviously, like I said, we were doing 3 different challenges. He won the regular season officially. Congrats to him. I believe the final record, let's see. He was 67-33. I was 63-37. So now we move into the conference tournament picks. For me and him, we're going to do the full Big 12 bracket, which I'll post tomorrow on Twitter or X. And then we're going to pick the rest of the main conferences from the quarterfinals on, and we'll see who gets the most right there as well. But tonight, it'll be I'll do my UFC 299 reactions right now, my top 6 seed rankings, and the boys are going to join me here in probably here in a little bit, probably 20, 30 minutes. And then we will get into those picks, and we'll have a regular scheduled KB and the boys on Friday or Saturday with our locks. UFC 299, what a card it was. Amazing card. Had a lot of fun watching it. Just outstanding from start to finish. I thought it was an A-plus card. We'll start off with the main event. Sean O'Malley dominates Chito Vera en route to a unanimous decision victory. 50-45 on 2 cards, 50-44 on 1. I've yet to watch watch it back. I mean, I thought he won all 5 rounds. I don't know if I would have scored. I don't know how many 10-8s I would have gave, but it was dominant by Sean. 230-some to 8-90 in significant strikes. Hurt him bad, landed a flush knee that would have put down any other bantamweight in the world. Chito Vera, very tough. So durable. Don't know how he took that knee. I mean, truly don't know how he took it. But it was a route by Sean. It is kind of what I figured would happen. Obviously I was worried that Chito would get a knockout. He's got powerful hands, good high kicks, So, I was obviously worried about that for Sean. But, Sean was just he's in a different class. And, I don't want to say the first fight was a fluke, because I also think that Chito Vera really just hasn't gotten too much better since the first fight. And I think Sean has become world class. I think he's become one of the best. He's top 5 pound for pound in the world for me. Definitely, or pound for pound in the UFC, probably in the world though as well. But wow, what a win for Sean. We'll get into what's next later, but we're just going to break down the fights right now. It was a great fight. For O'Malley, he dominated. His gas tank, his cardio looked very good. But again, that's going to be tested in different ways based on matchups. We'll see what happens. But, it was mainly a kickboxing match, which that's his world. He fought at distance basically the entire fight. And no one, and I mean no one, at bantamweight is going to beat him from distance. He is too accurate. He has too many weapons. You're not going to beat him at range. You have to make it ugly. And Chito was the type of guy. The reason why, people were giving Chito a little bit of a chance was, could he make it ugly? He tried to at times, but he was just running into so many shots that he was like, man, you could tell in the 5th round, I was like, I don't want to make it ugly. Hit him with a nice body shot at the buzzer. But yeah, great win for O'Malley. We'll talk about what's next here in a minute. Dustin Poirier gets a big knockout win over Benoit St. Denis in round 2. Like I said, I had a feeling. That's why I switched to Poirier in my pick. And I maybe even want to pick Poirier anyway, even without knowing the staph infection. But the staph infection was huge for me because, and St. Denis even said it, he was going to fight different. He was going hard to get the finish as quickly as he could. He knew the later the fight went, it was not going to be good for him. But he was marching forward really with his hands kind of down, and Poirier was able to drop him with a left. Way too many guillotines for Poirier he went for. He'll tell you that in his coaches, but he dropped him. He had a guillotine again, and then Denis kind of dropped to a knee because I think it was kind of tight. And they backed up, and he's able to counter right hook, turn the right hand over, boom, knocked him down. knocked him out, and that was it. Dustin Poirier back in the win column after his loss to Justin Gaethje. Don't understand the call for him to fight for the belt next. I think that's crazy. I think Oliveira, Sarukian, and Gaethje all deserve a title shot more, especially Gaethje is coming off the head kick knockout win over him. And Gaethje was told that Islam would be out for a while, and so that's why Gaethje took another fight. Well, that's kind of bullshit. Poirier didn't get to skip the line, in my opinion, but we'll talk about what's next for him. Because they have said that Sarukian, Oliveira winner will get the title shot, but we'll see what happens. MVP impressed me in his debut. I know people, it's you have to know what you're getting. I think, you know, some UFC fans didn't know what they were getting all the way. That's MVP. It's not always going to be action-packed. He's got a weird style, a funky style, and it's gonna be based on matchups. You know, different matchups to get him going. So that's going to be the interesting thing, is how they make him next. But yeah, great win. He outclassed Holland. I mean, it was an easy win for him. Jack De La Maddalena gets a late round 3 knockout. He was down 2-0 on 2 scorecards. So he was on his way to losing that fight. Hits him with a big knee. And then, in my opinion, Gilbert Burns took way too many unanswered blows. But yeah, great win for De La Maddalena. He was on his way to losing a decision, which would have been his first loss in the UFC. He won Shavkat next. We'll talk about that. But yeah, huge win for him. Again, he was on his way to losing that fight, but I still thought he fought good. The wrestling defense needs to improve, but I still thought he fought very good. Piotr Jan ends his 3-fight losing streak, rallies to win rounds 2 and 3 to beat Yadong via decision. That fight was close. It was a huge win for Jan to get back on the winning path. I still don't think he looks anywhere near like the Piotr Jan of old. I don't know if he'll ever get back to that. It was a very close fight. Could have went Song Yadong's way, but I did watching it live. I thought Piotr won the last 2 rounds. Huge win for him. I thought Song Yadong fought very well in round 1, and he had some moments in rounds 2 and 3. But Jan's wrestling kind of got it done in that fight. Curtis Blaydes gets TKO win over Almeida after rough round 1. Yeah, round 1 was bad for Blaydes. Basically got ragdolled and manhandled in round 1, which was surprising. I mean, he had 20 plus pounds on, or he had around 20 pounds on Almeida, and that was going to be the worry for Almeida is, you know, was Blaydes going to be too strong for him? He wasn't. Not going to lie, didn't understand what Almeida was doing when he shot for the takedown, and he, you know, Blaydes just starts hammer fisting him, right? And he doesn't move. He takes 7 of them before he's done, and it's like, move, get out of there, you know? That was weird. He just didn't move. He just kept holding on to the position. He just kept getting hit. It's like, it's a heavyweight, you know? It was 7, 8 unanswered of those. You're going to be screwed, and it was over. It's a huge win for Blaydes. Macy Barber gets a unanimous decision win over Chookagian. It was a good fight. It was solid. It wasn't special. I think Macy still can be a tad bit too reckless. So it'll be interesting what happens with her next. You know, I don't think she's probably not next in line, but you know, we'll see what happens for her. I thought she fought well, but she still looks immature at times in there, which is going to happen because she's young, but it can't happen when you get up into the elite level. The Firos, the Blanchfields, the Grossos, the Shevchenkos, can't happen there. Gamrot gets dropped twice in round 1, but rallies to get the decision win over RDA. Yeah, I was not impressed with Gamrot at all. I don't know what to say about him. It just wasn't impressive to me. Him going out there, he goes out there and stops RDA, or he dominates him for all 3 rounds. You know, could he ask for, you know, could they see, you know, could they make Poirier fight him, or could he fight, you know, the loser of Armin Charles, Gaethje, something like that? But I don't know now. Kyler Phillips, he looked really good. He impressed. Big unanimous decision win over Munoz. He was just way too fast for Pedro. Way too fast. But yeah, he's getting a lot better quickly, which is good news. Obviously, he trains with O'Malley. Michel Pereira also had a very nice win over Mikhail Olechasek. So let's get into what's next. For Michel Pereira, obviously, I think that was his first fight at middleweight, I want to say. I like Chris Curtis. I think that'd be a good one. He's right inside the top 15. I think that'd be a fun matchup. Kyler Phillips, a guy that's ranked around 11 or 12. Jonathan Martinez, I think that'd be a great fight. For Gamrot, I went Michael Chandler just because I don't know what they're doing with Connor. So, I mean, Chandler's going to have to come back and fight somebody, but everyone's kind of held up right now. I think, if Gamrot wants a bigger fight, bigger name, there you go. You know, you could do Michael Chandler versus Matheus Gamrot. Macy Barber, I did not go the Firo Blanchfield winner. I actually went the Amanda Hebos Rose winner to fight Macy Barber next. I think that would be a true test for her either way. I do expect Rose to get the win over Hebos, but I think that's a tough... Both are tough fights. Jalton Almeida, I went the Two of Us at Tibera winner, which happens this coming weekend. Yeah, a little step back for him, obviously, losing to Blades, and Blades is climbing the rankings and possibly going to get Aspinall. So I think, yeah, the winner of Two of Us at Tibera, and for Blades, Aspinall, and they both seem to be on board with that. Blades said he wants to, you know, run it back with Aspinall. Obviously, it ended in injury last time. Aspinall would love to get that win back. So I think that's the fight to make for the interim strap. Song Yadong, I want Rob Font. I think that'd be just a good matchup. You know, both still right inside the top 10. I think that'd be a good fight. Piotr Jan, he called for Chito Vera, is what I heard. But I want Henry Cejudo. If Cejudo's going to stay around, I think that's a fun fight. Both have talked shit on each other. So, yeah, I would like, you know, Henry Cejudo, I think, would be a good one. Gilbert Burns, I went Sean Brady. I don't know if Brady's going to be interested in that, but I think that's a good fight. You know, I think they'll probably be ranked around the same. Gilbert probably drop a couple spots and be ranked right next to Brady, so I think that's a good fight. De La Maddalena called for Shavkat, and I'm all here for it, but Shavkat is going to be out till... I just saw that he'll be out till... August, which isn't great. So I guess here I can recheck the UFC rankings over here. I got time. I got about 20 minutes to work with here. So we can see who else he could fight. I'm just trying to think of the matchups that are going to be made. Obviously, Edwards is probably going to fight Bilal. Machado wants Covington. I mean, you could do Brady versus De La Maddalena as well. Would not be upset with that. Yeah, if they're going to do... Burns going to drop a little... Shavkat's going to be booked up with Ramadan till August. Usman's, I don't know what he's doing. Bilal's going to fight Leon. Machado, Gary, and Covington's in the works. Yeah, maybe Brady versus De La Maddalena is actually the fight to make. And Burns, who knows, maybe takes time off or something. But yeah, that might be the fight to make, actually. MVP, big win for him in his debut. I went Jeff Neal. I think, I know people are calling for the Wonderboy fight, but again, he said it himself, I think it could be very boring. So I think Jeff Neal makes a ton of sense, just because Jeff's going to go at him, and that's kind of what you want. You want a guy that's going to move forward on MVP and make him fight, and I think that that will make the most sense. For Benoit St. Denis, this is a tough one. I said Dan Hooker. I think you could also do a Moicano, Jalen Turner winner, but I put Dan Hooker. One of those, though, I don't think he needs a giant step back, but I do think it was a little bit too soon, and then the staph infection did not help him. For Dustin Poirier, again, I don't think he deserves a title shot. It's a huge win, but he fought the number 12 guy in the world. I don't think it deserves a title shot. Armin Saryukin, Oliveira fighting at 300 as well, and they've been, you know, everyone's been saying, you know, Dan has even said the winner, that's going to get the title shot. So I think Poirier fights the winner of Gaethje and Max Holloway for the BMF belt. Either a trilogy with Gaethje, which they've obviously had two amazing fights, or a rematch with Holloway when they fought for the interim belt a while ago, the interim lightweight belt, a rematch there too. So either one of those, I think the winner of Gaethje-Holloway is perfect matchup for Poirier. And then the winner of that would get the next title shot, because I think Oliveira Saryukin and the winner should get the next shot. Chito Vera, he's as tough as they come. You could do a Song Yadong rematch as well. I think you could also give Umar Nurmagomedov a big-time fight and fight Marlon Vera. I think you could do... Marlon could fight a lot of guys. Piotr Jan, Henry Cejudo, Song Yadong, Figueiredo Garbrandt winner, Umar Nurmagomedov. I would put Umar down, but there's a ton of fun fights. But Umar would be the one. Maybe try to get Umar a big name. And then Sean, he called out Topuria. And I think if you ask me which one I'd rather see between Merab and Topuria, it would be Topuria. Topuria seemed to kind of shoot it down, which is funny. I don't know what's wrong with him. He shot everyone down. Who does he want to fight is the question. O'Malley Topuria is the big fight, but could you imagine if O'Malley's able to go beat Merab and then Topuria is able to beat Volk in the rematch, and then you do that fight? That fight's even bigger. And I'm not going to lie, I'd pick both guys to beat those guys. I know people love Merab and they love his relentless pressure. I just think it's going to be the same thing as Aljamain. I think he's just going to run into something. He's going to run into a big right hand. He's going to run into a knee. He's going to run into a kick. And I just think O'Malley's that good. O'Malley's not, O'Malley's didn't have backgrounds in jiu-jitsu and wrestling. He's an elite mixed martial artist. He's very good on the ground as well. He's got good takedown defense. We've seen that against Aljamain. He has good submissions. He submitted Taka Noragomi in that submission grappling match. He's obviously world-class on the feet. I think he goes in there and beats Merab. So I would do Merab because I think Merab does deserve it, even though I don't really like Merab. I think he does deserve the title shot. So that's the way I would go, is I would go Merab. And then if he gets past Merab and Topuria gets past Volk in the rematch, then you have a mega super fight on your hands with Topuria versus O'Malley at 145. Could be a huge one. So that's it for UFC 299. Again, great card. 300 is about, let's look at the calendar. I think it's 4 weeks away from this weekend. 4 weeks away from this coming Saturday is UFC 300, which is going to be another amazing card. But let's get into my top six seed rankings. My overall one is Houston. I've done a complete 180 on Houston. I was wrong about them. Houston's very good. And they're going to be a very slept-on team in the tournament because I think, people like to talk about the UConn-Purdue, as much as I love to talk about UConn. Tennessee's, the Carolinas, the Arizonas, the Kentuckys, all those big-name teams. I think Houston's going to be very slept-on. I would go UConn as my second, Purdue as my third, and I still would have Tennessee as my fourth one seed heading into the conference tournaments. Two seed line, I got North Carolina as my top, Kentucky second, Arizona third, Iowa State fourth. My threes, I got Duke, Creighton, Marquette, Baylor. I'm trying to think. I think North Carolina, the only way they could probably move up to the one line is if Kentucky and Tennessee both got bounced before the conference championship. Arizona probably has a chance as well. Kentucky, I don't think they could move to the one with so many losses. Iowa State, I don't think could move to the one. Creighton, I think definitely could move to the two. It's going to be tough. The top eight's really tough for me to... But Kentucky could fall because they have losses, especially if they get upset. Duke, Creighton could definitely move up to the two line. I think Marquette and Baylor are threes. Baylor could even fall to a four. Four seeds, Illinois, Auburn, Kansas, Alabama. I think Illinois could get to the three line. I don't think Kansas definitely... I guess if Kansas won the Big 12 title, they could get to the three line. They're not going to, though, with their injuries. Auburn probably can't, and Alabama probably can't either. Five, South Carolina, BYU, Utah State, and Wazoo. I do think BYU and Wazoo, and even Utah State, be careful. They could move up to the four line with winning their conference tournament. Or even if BYU makes, BYU would have to beat Houston to get there. If BYU got to the conference championship, I think they would move up to the four line. Six is for me, Gonzaga, San Diego State, Florida, St. Mary's. I think San Diego State could move to the five line. I think Gonzaga, Florida, St. Mary's are around this seed and possibly even a seven. But I think if San Diego State won the Mountain West tournament, they could move up to the five. For sure. So yeah, that's going to be UFC 299 reactions and what's next, and then my seed rankings, and then here in a minute we will have the boys joining me. All right, guys, back here with the boys. Got Carter, Schmidt, and Colby here. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Beautiful day for some college basketball.
Yep. Predict some conference tournaments. We can just go each one tournament at a time so you don't got to read out two brackets in a row. I'll update the standings from last week's picks. Colby is way in front now after Schmidt's poor week. Colby's at plus 19.9. Schmidt's at 13, or no, I'm actually at 13.3. Schmidt's at 13.04.
Oh, God.
Schmidt went minus 5 last week. Rough week for Schmidt. Carter closed the gap on Hover. Hover went minus 3.1. He's at minus 12.6, and Carter's now up to minus 14.7.
Yeah. Minor setback for a major comeback. I'm coming for Schmidt.
He doesn't even want the top. He just wants to outdo Schmidt.
Schmidt last week was talking trash and then had a minus 5 week. We're not stopping this season until I catch Schmidt. If that's at minus 130 or if that's at plus 12.
No, I'm looking to catch Colby. I've already caught Schmidt. Schmidt's in the mud.
Say, my name is Carter Downing and I'm coming for Schmidt. Say it again.
I don't follow your instructions.
All right, so Schmidt's brackets will be the Big 12 and the Ivy. Colby has Big 10, A10. Carter has Pac-12 in the SWAC, and I got the Big East in the SEC. Schmidt, we'll let you go with the Ivy because that'll be quick. So we'll let you go with your Ivy League picks first.
All right, I'm taking first game, Princeton versus Brown. Taking Princeton. There's only four teams, so both these are semifinal games. Yale versus Cornell, taking Yale, and then the chip. It'll be Princeton versus Yale. I'm taking the 2-seed Yale to win it all.
All right. A lot less potential points on the board for Schmidt with only having a 4-team conference tournament there. Good choice.
He's got all four in his final four, though, already. He hit all of his final four picks.
Yeah. Colby or Carter, whoever wants to go between you guys, one of you can go next.
I might as well give out the perfect SWAC bracket right now.
Yep, go ahead with the SWAC.
First game, take it back. Second game of the day, first on what I'm viewing. You have Alabama State, number 8. Beating the number 1 Grambling. And then we're going to move over
Alabama State. Hold on. Alabama State beating the 1 seed?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to beat the 1 seed.
All right.
And then you move over 2-7 matchup, Alcorn versus Bama A&M. And I think Alcorn State's going to take that one. They're going to move on to the semifinals. Then you have Texas Southern, the 3 seed, taking on the 6 seed, Jackson State. We're going to give you Texas Southern in that one. That's a good squad. Dangerous squad. And then we have our 4-5 matchup, Southern and Bethune-Cookman. And I'm going to give that one to the Jaguars of Southern, moving on to play the 8 seed, Alabama State. So we'll go right to that Southern-Alabama State matchup. You got an 8 versus a 4. The Alabama State dream run comes to an end. They're done for the season. Give me Southern into the championship. Then you got Alcorn State versus Texas Southern. They played close this year a couple times. But I'm going to ride with Alcorn State in the most recent matchup. So we have our 4-seed Southern Jaguars versus our 2-seed Alcorn State. The Southern Jaguars are going dancing in March, winning the SWAC as the 4-seed.
And the reward is playing Purdue.
Probably. Do they have a chance? Absolutely not.
It's a tough reward.
No.
They might be in the play-in game, actually. They might not even get to play Purdue.
Yeah, it's probably true. All right, I guess I'll go with the A-10. The A-10's got 14 teams, and they do a little tiered buys. So we're starting off with a 12-13 game, Fordham versus Davidson. I've got Davidson winning. Then we're going to go down to the 10-15, LaSalle, George Washington. I got LaSalle on that one. Rhode Island versus St. Louis. I've got the Billikens and Travis Ford. Going on from there, we've got moving into the next round, the 8-9 game. I've got George Mason beating St. Joe's. Then we've got VCU versus Davidson. I've got VCU winning that one. LaSalle versus St. Bonaventure. St. Bonaventure winning. And then Duquesne, St. Louis. I've got Duquesne moving on. Now we've got the 1-seed Richmond versus George Mason. I've got Richmond moving on. Got Frank Martin squad, UMass versus VCU. Got VCU winning that one. Sister Jean is going to be riding high this March. She's rooting on the Loyola Chicago to beat St. Bonaventure.
Beautiful.
Then we've got Dayton, Duquesne. Dayton wins. Unfortunately, Sister Jean is going home when they play Dayton in the next round. I've got Dayton winning that matchup to go to the final versus Richmond, who beats VCU in the other semifinal game. And then we've got Dayton, the A-10 champions.
Dayton,
I'm not going to lie, that was a lot.
that was a lot. I don't want to have to read out.
Is that a 36-game conference tournament?
I really don't want to read out the SEC bracket at all. How many are in the A-10? Was that 14?
15, I guess.
15?
15 teams. Jesus, everybody Lord. Gets a bye as you progress every two teams.
Oh, my goodness.
Goodness.
All right, well, I'll go with the Big East first, the easier one with only 11 teams in their conference. First round matchup, 9 seed Xavier, 8 seed Butler. I'm going to take Xavier over Butler. Georgetown, Providence in the 10-7. I'm going to take Providence. Did DePaul win a conference game this year?
I don't believe so.
Well, they stay that way. Villanova beats DePaul. UConn, the 1 seed, taking on Xavier. UConn, easily. St. John's, Seton Hall, good matchup. St. John's got hot here late in the year. 5 straight wins coming in. I think they beat Seton Hall in advance of the semifinals. Creighton, Providence. Creighton's kind of, they've kind of found their way as well. I think Creighton beats Providence. I don't know if Kolek's playing in the conference tournament. I think they're still good enough to beat Villanova, even if he's not playing. So I'll take Marquette, so almost chalk. And then I'll take UConn over St. John's. If I'll ask the panel, am I allowed to change my pick if Kolek plays?
Okay.
I'm taking Creighton over Marquette right now, but if Kolek plays, okay. If Kolek plays, I'm taking Marquette. Won't matter though, I'm taking UConn to win the Big East tournament. So UConn's my champion over Creighton right now. If Kolek plays, I'll take Marquette. All right, Schmidt. Schmidt's not ready. Okay. Are you ready for the Big 12?
I am ready.
All right, you're up.
All right. So first round game on Tuesday. Two games on Tuesday. Oklahoma State and UCF. I'm taking the 12 seed UCF over Oklahoma State. And then that second game is West Virginia versus Cincinnati. Cincinnati, the 11 seed. I'm taking Cincinnati. On Wednesday, there are 4 more games. UCF will be playing BYU, according to my bracket. BYU will take that win. Oklahoma TCU is also on Wednesday. I'm taking OU. Kansas State and Texas, I'm taking Texas. Cincinnati and Kansas, I'm taking Kansas. Then on Thursday, the quarterfinals is, I'll have BYU and Texas Tech. I'm going to keep BYU going. BYU moves on. OU and Houston, taking Houston. Texas, Iowa State, taking Iowa State. Kansas, Baylor, I'm going to be taking Baylor, unfortunately. And then the semifinals, which would be on Friday, BYU and Houston, I'll be taking Houston. Iowa State, Baylor, taking Baylor. And then championship Saturday is Houston, Baylor, and Houston wins it all.
I like that.
Is Dickinson going to play?
They will play in the NCAA tournament. They will not be playing in the Big 12 tournament.
Neither
McCuller or Dickinson. The starting lineup against Cincinnati will be DeJuan, El Marco, Nick Timberlake, Furphy, and KJ, with Jamari McDowell and Parker Braun off the bench. And he said Jankovic will play as well. The walk-off.
That is going to be the worst team in...
I'm not going to lie. They're not going to beat Houston. Or no, they're not going to beat Cincinnati.
No.
But the only reason...
beat them at home with all those...
The only reason I don't mind Cincinnati is because they don't shoot well. So maybe we can keep it close with them. That would be the only way they could win is if they play Cincinnati. They would lose by 100 to Baylor. 100. I don't know how... I mean, we have to keep it under 55. I mean, we have to play like fucking Virginia.
Yeah.
And we have no size.
I think we're going to have some hungry dogs out there.
Like a machine.
I bet Jankovic goes for 12, 6, and 3.
Yeah. Yeah. 12 minutes. 6 3-pointers, six turnovers and 3 fouls. All right, Carter, go ahead with the what's your other Pac-12?
The Pac-12, interesting. We got Washington USC first game on Wednesday, 8 versus 9. I'm going to take Washington. They've been playing really good recently. And then you go down to your 5-12 matchup of UCLA versus Oregon State, and I'm going to take UCLA in that one. And then you have a 7-10 matchup of Cal versus Stanford, and that is where we have our first upset of Stanford beating Cal. And then you have your 6-11 matchup of Arizona State versus Utah. Arizona State's terrible. Give me Utah. Moving on to round two, first game of the quarterfinals on Thursday. Zona versus Washington is what I have. I'm going to have Zona beating Washington. Then you have your 5-4 matchup of UCLA versus Oregon. I'm going to take UCLA to beat Oregon and move on to the semis to play Arizona. Then I have Washington State versus Cal. I'm going to take Wazoo to win that one as well. And then on your final game of the day will be Colorado versus Utah. And Colorado's also playing really, really good right now. I'll be taking Colorado to beat Utah. So we have semifinal matchups of Arizona and UCLA, Colorado and Wazoo. I'm going to take Arizona to beat UCLA in the semis. And I'm going to take Colorado to beat Wazoo and move on to the championship to play Arizona. And unfortunately for Colorado, Arizona is going to be too much and it's going to win the final Pac-12 tournament.
Love that.
Colorado definitely could beat them if they get there.
Yes, they could. Wazoo's playing really well right now. I like the way
that Colorado-Wazoo game would be really interesting if they do make it both to the semifinals.
All right, Holmberg with the Big Ten.
All right. This is another long, long tournament. So bear with me. So the first round matchups are 11 versus 14. That'd be Penn State versus Michigan. I got Penn State winning that one. Then we have Rutgers versus Maryland. I think Maryland's going to pull that one out to play Wisconsin.
Bless you.
Moving on to the second round games, we've got Minnesota versus Michigan State. Michigan State is going to win that one. Obviously, they've got Izzo high on them. More to come on that. Maryland against Wisconsin. Got Wisconsin coming out on top. Ohio State, Iowa. Iowa's currently looking like they're going to be one of the first four out. They are definitely going to be the first four out after losing to Ohio State. Indiana versus Penn State. I've got Indiana moving on. Now to the third round game, we've got the 8-seed Michigan State versus Purdue. Got Michigan State beating Purdue here.
Come on, it's Marty.
Going on to the next game, Wisconsin versus Northwestern. I've got Northwestern and the Newton native.
Ty Berry.
Shout out Ty Berry. Ohio State versus Illinois. Got Illinois moving on in that one. Nebraska versus Indiana. Got Nebraska having their dream season continue. Michigan State versus Northwestern in the semifinal game. I've got Michigan State winning that one. Illinois versus Nebraska. Illinois moving on. And then we've got the championship game between Michigan State versus Illinois. I've got Illinois winning the Big Ten.
I like that. Hopefully Michigan State has a run like that in the tournament as well.
Oh, yeah.
All right, for the SEC, first round, 14-11s, Georgia versus Mizzou. Mizzou will stay defeated in the SEC. Give me Georgia. Vanderbilt, Arkansas. That's the 13-12. I'll take Arkansas. LSU, Mississippi State in the 8-9. I'm going to take Mississippi State as the 9 seed to move on. South Carolina, Arkansas. I'm going to take South Carolina to beat Arkansas. Ole Miss, Texas A&M, just played recently. I'm going to take Texas A&M in this one again to move on to play Kentucky. Florida, Georgia, I'm going to take Florida. They'll move on to play Alabama. So you got Tennessee versus Mississippi State. Give me Tennessee. Auburn, South Carolina, really good matchup. I'm going to take South Carolina over Auburn to advance to the semifinals. Texas A&M, Kentucky. This game will probably end 115 to 105. I'll take Kentucky. Alabama is the 3 versus 6 seed Florida. Give me Florida and a little bit of an upset over Alabama to get to the semifinals. South Carolina, Tennessee. I'm going to be taking Tennessee over South Carolina. Kentucky, Florida. Give me Kentucky. And then Kentucky, Tennessee. Tennessee wins the season series 2-1. I'll take Tennessee to win the SEC tournament. So those are the bracket picks.
Who had the most surprising pick? Like, who had the lowest seed?
Holmberg had an 8 seed in his conference championship, final. Michigan State. Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't go chalk. I couldn't have Purdue versus Illinois.
I thought about having Tennessee lose to South Carolina, but I think Tennessee's really good.
The only thing is, winning the swag.
Yeah, I had chalk in both mine. I had both ones and twos in mine.
I think Purdue's really good. I might have them winning the national championship in my big bracket.
I
picked them to lose in the Big Ten tournament.
First round.
And not just because they beat the shit out of KU, but I actually flipped on Houston. I actually do think Houston's good. I think they're really good. And I think they're going to be really underlooked because, I mean, everyone's going to talk about UConn and Purdue as the top one seeds going into March. I think Houston's actually really good. I mean,
Houston doesn't let bad teams hang around.
No, they don't. They punish teams. They get up on you. You're pretty much done. So yeah, I really like Houston heading into March. Purdue as well, though.
It was my pick right now to win it.
Sucks for Houston that they lost their two key bench guys though for the season. That really hurts, you know, depth wise heading into postseason play. But they still got those two guards that are really, really good.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Really, really good.
I really like Purdue.
Yeah, I mean, I like Purdue.
Those two young guards from last year, the Smith and Lawyer, they were both freshmen last year. They both started. They were obviously pretty inexperienced, but being another year in the Painter system and playing with Edie, and they've both gotten a lot better.
Yeah,
they can both take shots. They take care of the ball. I mean, when they lost the 16 seed, they turned it over a bunch. They looked like they were young players.
Yeah, they weren't ready for the moment.
No, but I think this year they definitely look better.
I'm going to be taking if their spread is minus 40 against the 16 seed, I'm taking it. They're going to win that game by 100.
Absolutely murdered.
They're going to win by 100.
Edie, I think Edie's gotten better too.
They might win that game seriously like 90-30. They're going to look to punish whoever their poor 16 seed is for what happened last year.
Southern?
Yeah, whoever it is. Southern is in jail. I don't know if they'll get to 40. A couple other teams. I like Creighton. I don't know why I like Creighton. I mean, I know they almost booed against Nova, but I think that they're better. They're much better than they were last year.
30-8, I mean, my God.
Yeah, I know. That was rough. They almost pissed that away. I like
buzzer beater to win.
I like your Big Ten champion pick, too. I do like Illinois. I think they could be a team that makes a run as well.
You've got two dudes that can score them.
Exactly. I like them a lot. And, you know, I still – Kentucky, man. I mean, they just score, and they're tough. It's tough to guard them. They have so many guys that can score. And, you know, Rob Dillingham can score at all three levels. Reed Sheppard can score at all three levels.
Yeah.
Even – what's his name? Their older guy. What's his the sniper. What's his name? I'm blanking on his name.
Gosh, yeah, I mean, he's our best player.
Yeah, he's literally... I'm blanking on his name right now, though. But, yeah, I mean, and I think their bigs have gotten better over the year. You know, Bradshaw's kind of gotten into the doghouse, but I think they've gotten better over the year. They played a lot better defensively against Tennessee. But, yeah, I mean, they can just score. And
it's all going to be about their defense. They could give up 100 to bad teams.
Yeah, they could.
If they don't play defense.
Yeah. I'm not really high on either of the top ACC teams, especially Duke.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, UNC's been playing pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't mind UNC at all.
I don't.
You don't like them or you don't mind them?
I don't mind them. I think they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
This bracket looks pretty chalk.
I don't like
it. The one seeds are so strong in this bracket.
I'm not huge on Iowa State. I'm not huge on Iowa State at all.
Houston, Purdue, like Tennessee. Those teams, I might pick all one seeds. Like, those teams are so strong. There's such a big difference between the twos and the ones this year.
Yeah, I definitely don't see any of the one seeds getting out before the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
I think that would be a surprise, definitely.
Yeah, I would agree.
I don't know if it's the ones are really strong or the four or fives just aren't.
I would say the four or fives are not very strong either. I'm not – I don't – I mean, what's who's on the four line right now? I'm going to take guess Illinois it's Kansas, Illinois. I'm going to guess it's Illinois, KU, Auburn, Alabama.
Yes, those are all four.
I'm not scared. I mean, Illinois would be the most dangerous in my opinion. I don't think Alabama's that good.
Scariest five would maybe be Clemson.
Is BYU a five?
Yes, and San Diego State.
I would say BYU just because they could be a team that makes 14 threes in a game.
I would say San Diego State since they've been to the national championship.
That's true, yeah. I like Utah State more than them.
I agree.
I like Utah State a lot. Is Gonzaga on the 7 line?
Yes, playing Drake and then playing Arizona is what they have.
They could be a tough out for a 2. I don't think Gonzaga got better throughout the year.
I'm not certain they beat Drake in the first round.
Oh, they'll beat Drake.
Drake ain't shooting like that again.
Drake has nobody to guard Graham EK.
Yeah.
Florida, right now they have UConn projected to play Michigan State in the second round.
Well, that's not the easiest 8 seed to play. That's not an 8 seed you want to run into in March, you know?
No.
Is Tennessee a 1 right now?
Yeah, they would be playing Northwestern or OU.
Oh, my God. Chalk them to the fucking Sweet 16. Who's their 4-5?
Their 4-5 is Auburn, BYU, James Madison, Samford.
James Madison, watch out. Watch out for James Madison.
They've got a couple bucket getters as well.
Yeah. I'd see Tennessee. I mean, Auburn, BYU aren't that bad.
What?
Tennessee also has, I think, the weakest 2 seed in Arizona.
You don't think Arizona's
good? You think good? Iowa State is not as weak as Arizona? I don't think Iowa State's good. I think Iowa State's
I'm not a fan of Iowa State because, like, they're so good on defense. That's why they win a lot of games in the Big 12. But it's because a lot of offenses in the Big 12 aren't very good.
Yeah.
They struggle a lot at times on offense. I mean, they were terrible against K-State.
Awful.
I mean, and I can't ever support a team that looks like that against K-State.
Who's their projected 7-10 right now?
I mean, good grief.
Iowa State.
Don't tell me it's Florida. Tell me it's Florida.
Theirs is Utah State, Seton Hall.
KB just said he loves Utah State.
I like Utah State. Seton Hall, I didn't even know they're going to make the tournament.
Yeah. And their 3-6 is Duke, Florida.
It's honestly not a bad bracket, decided the bracket for them because I just don't think Duke's good. I don't know how they're not good either. Like, I think they're good, obviously, but they're just not Duke. Who was the 6? Florida was Duke's, it was the 6 in that one?
Yes.
Florida can absolutely score the ball. They do struggle to guard, but they can score.
That's a lot of those SEC teams.
Who's KU's matchup right now? In that projected.
McNeese.
Don't know anything about him. Who's their 5?
South Carolina.
Goodbye. South Carolina is a much better basketball team. Way more disciplined basketball team than Kansas.
And your 1 seed, if you do make the Sweet 16, would be UConn.
Which is not a bad matchup for us.
Beat them already.
It's not. They play into our hands. They don't. They play slow. That's actually not. I wouldn't want to be in. Well, we won't be in Houston's, obviously. I mean, most likely we could be. I don't want to see Purdue. Just because I think they're really good. I wouldn't mind. I mean, UConn would beat us now. I mean, they would kill us. Wouldn't matter.
It's a better matchup than Tennessee.
Yes, it is. I would agree. We have no one that could guard Connect.
Connect is just a savage.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
McNeese State. They could probably shoot the 3, I'm guessing.
Might McNeese?
Be Might be trouble.
That who... That's what seed is that?
That's KU.
13.
Oh, that's KU's first round matchup?
Well, that's projected.
Oh, no. McNeese is good.
Fuck off, Holmberg.
They're really good.
Yeah, not when they lose to the Lamar Cardinals tomorrow in the Southland tournament.
They actually are kind of had a chance to make the tournament outright. Or they probably weren't going to, but they were on the bubble.
They're 28-3.
Yeah. Fuckers. Shahada Wells from TCU last year is their best player. He transferred there. I don't know why, but.
Big Lamar fan. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys that shoot over 39% from three. Fuck off. Fuck off. I do not want to see McNeese. I mean, these guys are shooting unbelievable. Everyone on the team besides. I mean, their center's shooting 39.8% from three. I don't know how many he's taking a game, but.
You don't want to run into James Madison either.
No, James Madison team I don't want to see. They can stay on the 12 line. Hell, though. We lose to Cincinnati, we might be on the 5 line. Especially if we get our ass whooped.
You know, you can't judge that team. That's not the same team that's going to be playing, though.
Well, the same team that's going to be playing is probably a 5 seed as well.
You won't drop past a 4 seed. No way. I mean, the wins KU has are impressive.
Our losses are impressive, too. Impressively bad.
Yeah.
The losses are impressively bad. Oh, I don't know.
James Madison did win their conference tournament, so they are in.
Bump them up to the 11. To keep them off the 13 line.
Our boys at Oakland, KB, they're in the finals.
Are they? Who they got?
I don't know. I don't know who they're going to play.
They got it. They got some players on Oakland. They can fucking score.
Well, they start the other game's about to start. It's Milwaukee versus Northern Kentucky.
Charleston's sitting there in the conference tournament finals waiting to make the tournament.
Damn, they had a slow start to the year, too. Didn't they play pretty bad? The record wasn't that good in the non-con, wasn't it?
Charleston?
I thought they were.
Yeah, they lost three of their first four games.
Oh, they're 11-4. That's not that bad. They probably lost some good teams.
Is it Indiana State going to make the tournament?
They're one of the last four in right now.
Probably. Oh, really? Good for them.
They lost in their conference final.
See, McNeese State, they beat VCU in the non-con. They won at Michigan. Fuckers.
Michigan's terrible.
Yeah, I know, but geez.
Michigan was the worst team in the Big
Ten. I mean, but for McNeese State to go on the road and beat them by 15, still impressive for a littler school.
That is true. They beat them by 15?
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, they have Colorado as one of the last four in, playing against Indiana State in the play-in to go play Florida. That could be a rough matchup for Florida. That Colorado team is good.
Colorado's got a top seven draft pick in Cody Williams. He's a bucket getter. And they got Da Silva. He's nice, too. McNeese State lost one conference game.
I just don't know how the bracket's going to shift when K-State makes the conference tournament final.
True.
Loses to Houston.
If they beat Texas and then beat Iowa State, I think they're going to get in.
Please don't let that happen.
I think it's going to happen. I think that they'll be one of the. I think
losing the play-in game.
I think they'll be. I think if they win both those games, they'll be one of the last four teams in. I do.
What would that make the record? 20-13.
Yeah, I mean, Power Five conference, dude. Everyone's saying St. John's is still alive. It's like 17-14. I mean, if K-State was to beat add Texas and Iowa State to their resume, especially beating Iowa State twice, and then you've already beaten Baylor, could beat Baylor.
And KU.
Yeah, and KU. I mean, you're probably going to come to an end in the conference championship against Houston, but if you win those three games, they would be in. If they win the three games, they're definitely in. But if they win the two games, I still think they're going to get in if they win against Texas and then Iowa State.
The next two games are play-in games.
They're basically play-in games for K-State.
All the shitty teams that beat KU this year is like, went over KU really that impressive anymore?
I would like you to look in the camera and say that again.
Still, it's still a name on your resume.
Let me just say it again.
What is KU's rank? 14?
16?
No.
Yep.
They're going to lose this. They're going to lose the next one. They're not even going to finish the season ranked.
Possibly, yeah.
I'm just messing with
it. I said it the night we played K-State. I said we could easily be watching KU's last win tonight. It's very possible. They could easily, with the team we're rolling out, we could easily lose to Cincinnati. Hell, we could even lose to West Virginia. We've already lost to them before.
Well, yeah.
So, and then if we play a team in the first round, even if Dickinson and McCullough are back, if we play a team that can make threes and make shots, I mean, probably going home there. I mean, just we don't have, there's nothing special. We can't shoot. Our big guy, albeit, he's good, but it's basically empty stats most of the time. Because if you're going to build around a big like Dickinson, and this is what the roster has to be next year because he's going to come back, you have to have shooters around him that he can pass to. You can't have him throwing the ball to DeJuan Harris and Kevin McCullough. I mean, Kevin McCullough went on the flukiest three-point shooting start to a season ever. He has been terrible in Big 12 play from three. I mean, absolutely horrendous. You can't throw the ball, and you can't. And then you have KJ Adams. Well, he can't move outside the elbow, so there it's clogged up in the middle for Dickinson because KJ Adams can't shoot.
Screws Dickinson a little bit that KJ is constantly in the lane with him.
That's what I'm saying. If we get this five-star guy that decommitted from Indiana, I don't think you can start KJ next year if Dickinson returns. I think you have to play small and with shooters. It just doesn't work with KJ because no one has to guard him besides a lob and maybe an offensive rebound, but like, you don't have to guard him. So it's just, we have no spacing, no shooting. We're average at best defensively.
KJ would be an incredible scenario.
Not great recipe for winning when you're average defensively, terrible spacing, can't shoot the three.
Talk about energy off the bench and KJ Adams. Incredible season.
Yeah, he should be off the bench. I'm
excited to finally see Schmidt not pick KU to win in his bracket for the first year ever.
I mean, I'm gonna let you know right now. If you find a way in our bracket challenge, put KU in the national anywhere near the Final Four, you're off the pod.
Suspensions.
I'm putting a stamp. The farthest you can have us go is the Sweet 16. That's the farthest you can have us go, and you should probably have us going home in round one.
We're gonna win the Natty.
They're going back to back.
We are not winning that.
I hate to say this, but I did say I wasn't high on KU from the beginning of the year because I knew they had zero bench.
Yeah, well, it fucked us that our 44% three-point transfer decided that he'd come to KU and not remember how to shoot the three. Fucking Towson. And Bill Self, you never take a transfer from a mid-major ever again. Never. Unless they're a scoring guard. Like a guy that can actually, which was crazy, is he was a good scoring guard. He actually scored off the dribble at Towson. No more mid-major guards at Kansas. Can't have it. We could have got Ish Masu. He would have been fucking better.
He actually would fit into your team.
Exactly. He would have. A big wing that can shoot the three. Ish Masu.
He can't play defense.
I don't care. Timberlake really can't either. So, perfect. At least Ish Masu played in the Big 12 for 2 or 3 years.
Had some big time buckets.
Exactly. Fucking Nick Timberlake.
I do like watching Nick Timberlake like highlight videos though.
The one's funny as fuck.
The one with the Green Day song too?
Yeah, that one's hilarious.
Yeah, that one's good stuff.
That one's hilarious.
They do have Grand Canyon on the 11 line right now for your homework.
I got two good mid majors, baby.
I don't even remember who our teams are. Where are those at?
I think I have Purdue. And that's it.
Maybe. See if we can find him. College basketball, national title draft. Holmberg's got North Carolina. Oh, Holmberg got Houston in round two. What a value pick that is now.
Oh, yeah.
Dayton, they'll be in the tournament. Indiana State, potentially in the tournament.
Oh, yeah. I don't even have Grand Canyon. I switched it for Indiana State.
Schmidt, Kansas in round one. Arizona. Probably his best. He's got Arizona. He got Tennessee in round three. That was a steal, Schmidt. I will say that was a steal. And then he's got Utah State. Carter's got Purdue. Oh, my God. Forgot Carter chose Memphis in round two. Oh, no.
Nice pick, Carter.
Hey, BYU. BYU's
there for a while.
BYU's getting hot, though, Carter. FAU. You got BYU, FAU, and Purdue. Hey, you got Purdue. That's all that matters.
That's my only.
That is your only chance.
Nick's got UConn.
Good thing BYU travels.
UConn, Duke, Illinois, Marquette. Nick's got a pretty good lineup there.
He's got four that are going to win some games, but does he have a juggernaut? UConn?
UConn, yeah. I mean, he's got four teams that are going to be top four seeds. All top four seeds. See, I got Kentucky.
See, too chalk. He didn't take any risk. Bullshit.
Kentucky, like that. Auburn, not really. March Tom Izzo, love that. And Baylor, yuck.
We're going to have a BYU-Auburn matchup in round two.
I got Baylor. Jesus
Christ. Interesting.
My God, I chose Auburn over Tennessee and Arizona and Houston. What a fucking disaster.
Let's look at the games tomorrow and see if
I think we should
like any bets.
I think we should repick.
Yeah, let's repick.
I mean, I'm Kentucky or die. I'm a non-defensive team and or die.
It's going to be tough to win a national championship without playing defense.
Exactly. I don't think they can win six straight.
I don't either.
Oh, yeah, I guess – oh, yeah, the opening round is tomorrow.
Yeah, it's all the shitter teams.
Those are my favorites to bet on.
Miami versus Boston College.
Miami. Oh, my God, did Miami fall in the dump.
Dude.
They are bad. They are horrible.
You talk about a team that forgot how to shoot.
They are terrible. They are a bunch of individuals out there, too. It is straight selfish basketball. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Who will play tomorrow? Scores. NCAA men. March 12th. ACC. Georgia Tech versus Notre Dame. Notre Dame favored? Why is that? Louisville, NC State. NC State by 9.5. Miami's favored by 1.5. Give me Boston College. What else we got? Big 12. Oklahoma State, UCF. UCF favored by 4.5. Cincinnati favored by 9.5. I like UCF. Big East doesn't have any games. Big 10. That's on Wednesday as well. Fucking all these conferences start late. Pac-12? March 12? Nope. It's only two major conferences that have games tomorrow.
Yeah.
What about the A-10? A-10's got a bunch.
A-10's just got two. No, they have three games. The crappy teams. Yeah. I don't think I'll be betting on anything tomorrow.
No. Only game I like is UCF -4.5 against Oklahoma State. All the other games are piss.
I do think K-State's going to beat Texas.
I think that we're going to get some very favorable calls.
Why is that?
Because the Big 12 wants another team in.
That's a good point.
Who's that? We got Aiden?
Nine?
Who's the 8-9 match? I mean, OU, my God. Tournament team. Fuck off. They're so bad. OU. K-State's better than OU.
K-State got smoked by them at home.
Is that the game they didn't score for the first, like,
yes.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, that was a bad loss. You win that one, maybe flip. Maybe OU's playing for their life, and K-State might be on the 9 line.
That one and the Cincinnati one was not.
Yeah.
Not good. In Texas Tech, we should have beat Texas Tech. We were up by 20 at halftime.
Same. We should have, too. We only lost by 30.
Great.
We only lost by 30. We should have had them.
We were winning. You guys weren't.
No, I don't think we were for a second of that game. I don't think we led for a second. two of Bill Self's worst Big 12 losses. His two worst Big 12 losses came in the same year. 29 to Tech and 30 to Houston. Houston's at least respectable. They're good. Fucking Tech. Losing by 29 of them is embarrassing. Fucking Moose.
I can't believe that KU lost 8 games.
They didn't even get a bye. They didn't get like that 1-4 bye.
Yeah, they were the 6th seed. I cannot believe that. After being the preseason number one team in the country.
It's hard to get a 1-4 bye when you go 1-8 on the road in the conference.
That's tough.
Did they really go 1-8?
2-7. Who else would we beat? Because we lost one home game. So we went 8-1 at home. We're 10-8 in the conference. Who else? We beat Oklahoma State on the road. That's a huge win. I mean, that's just fucking amazing win.
Yeah.
Who did we beat on the road besides them? Is that it? Did we go 9-9 in the conference?
No, you guys went 10-8.
Did you play Cincinnati in Cincinnati?
No, we only played them at home. Dude, who did we go beat on the road?
I'll pull it up.
I mean, it had to have been a stinker. Oh, OU, I think. No, we did. We beat OU on the road. OU and Oklahoma State. We swept Oklahoma. If we could have played the state of Oklahoma every week, every weekend, would have been fine. Fucking abysmal. 10-8 in the conference. It's weird to look at.
They went 2-7 on the road.
We peaked in December. Not a good time to peak. We literally
2-7 on the road is.
We literally have three
interesting stat from KU.
We have 3 wins over 3 of the 4 1 seeds.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And we have a win over Kentucky. They're hot. I mean, we have some really good wins, and then we just have some, you know, scratch your head losses. West Virginia, I mean, that might be the worst. That was rock bottom. No, UCF was way worse because they didn't even play good and they beat us. Jesus. K-State lost them by 5, lost West Virginia by 4, lost UCF by 5, Houston by 30, Tech by 30, Baylor by 8, Iowa State by 8. Yeah, it's not good. Fucking McNeese State's going to beat us in round one. It's awesome. Fucking need Lamar to take care of business and get McNeese State out of the fucking tournament.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I mean, lost one conference game. They're probably not going to lose in their conference tournament.
Dang, you also maybe should have lost the first Big 12 game of the year against TCU.
Yeah.
If
I won't speak, I'm not gonna say anything about Uday.
The Uday Phantom Ella?
Yeah, Phantom. Phantom means you connect.
That was just a start of Hunter Dickinson flopping.
He definitely flopped because he didn't have to fall to the ground, but he definitely got hit. The only reason I agree with the call is because he was such a dumbass. It was so unnecessary to swing your arm back. I'm glad they called it. They should have. Why is he swinging his arm back? It's on him.
To hit Hunter Dickinson in the face?
Yeah.
He was upset that Hunter. He was upset that Hunter took his spot. He was pissed. Yeah. We could have lost that. We were down, God, a lot of the second half in that game, too. Against TCU. That was a good game. I don't even remember. We had some other. Oh, we could have lost to Indiana on the road. Probably should have lost that one. We're literally down the entire game till the final minute. We did not get a lead until like 48 seconds left in the game. That game we definitely could have lost.
Yep.
Kentucky game, that was a shootout. We were down at halftime in that game, too.
Yeah, Kentucky was on fire.
That was literally when they had no bigs, though. All three of their 7-footers were out that game.
Antonio Reeves,
yes. He's good. He's their leading scorer, right?
Yeah.
Everything's lining up perfectly for KU to have a tournament run.
What says that?
Hunter and McCuller are out for the Big 12 tournament. So now we're going to get Furphy and Nick Timberlake. They're going to get a lot of playing time. They're going to get going.
I don't think, Schmidt, I think it's
we're going to have about 30 minutes each in a loss to Cincinnati.
Schmidt, it's going to be.
They're going to get going.
Schmidt, I could get on board.
Run. They're gonna beat Cincinnati, and then they're gonna get Baylor run.
I think Furphy's shown that he could score some points. I've left out hope that Nick Timberlake can figure it out.
And I bet Yankovic doesn't miss.
They played good against K-State.
Yeah,
I bet he doesn't miss from three.
What and exactly what I said? What he would do the next game? He'd at least go 0-4 from three. And guess what?
No, Yankovic, not Nick Timberlake.
Schmidt, Yankovic can't play more than 5 minutes, hopefully. Please. I mean, Jesus Christ. He can't guard anyone on the floor. They're Division I athletes. He's not.
You take that back.
Did you see him get in the game against K-State? Did you see him in the game against K-State? He just fouled.
Schmidt, it would be like Caitlin Clark playing against you, dude.
Yeah, whooping your ass.
Yeah, for sure, Humber.
Exactly.
Schmidt, you guys play to 11. I'm putting the spread at -9.5 her.
10.5.
And she's, skunking your ass.
I might not even offer that. I might just offer -11 and say you can
take the punch. You have to bet on Schmidt.
Fuck no. I'm betting on my push.
Take your push. I put a gun to your head. I said take a side. -11 Caitlin Clark or +10.5 Schmidt.
I'm taking Caitlin Clark -10.5. Schmidt won't see the ball if she starts. It's ladies first too, Schmidt, so she sees the ball first. And you're not getting the ball.
Doesn't matter if Schmidt sees the ball first and you give it to him three straight times.
That's true. I'd still take the 10.5. Yeah.
Schmidt might be on the back and down one time.
Yeah, sure. And then Schmidt, who has credit card hops, goes for a hook, and she swats the shit out of him because she's taller than Schmidt. She's taller than Schmidt. You're faster than her?
Yeah.
Schmidt, you can't be serious.
I'm pretty fast.
Schmidt, but Schmidt, you putting the ball on the ground, she's just going to swipe it immediately.
Schmidt, there's not a trash star.
Yeah.
I have fast
muscle guy.
Yeah, Schmidt, except when you put the ball on the ground and dribble it off your foot. And it's her ball.
She's played basketball her whole life. You tore your hamstring running around first base in a slow pitch softball game. Fast twitch muscle movement gone.
I guess she's had a sports related injury too. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It happens. It happens when you go hard. You're an athlete.
Oh, yeah, true. I wouldn't understand. I guess.
Schmidt, you know she's taller than you too.
How tall is she?
She's like, getting an exact height.
Yeah, get an exact height. I think she's 6'6". Schmidt's 5'7".
She's 6 foot.
Schmidt's 5'7". So she's got six
I'm
inches
not
on Schmidt.
5'7".
On Tinder, you're 6 foot, so it's pretty close.
So you're
I'm 5'10". We measured once.
All right, okay. So she's got 2 inches on you as well.
Holmberg's 5'11", 3/4".
That's not true.
And Schmidt, she can also she's also more athletic than you. She can jump higher than you.
There's no way she jumps higher.
Oh my, what? I guarantee you she jumps higher.
How high do you jump?
14.
I probably have a 21 inch vertical.
Yeah.
Look up Caitlin Clark's vertical right now. If it's less than 20, please.
Well, your arms are about the size of a toddler.
You look like KJ Adams with that wingspan.
Why can't I back her down in the paint?
Yeah, and then when your T-Rex arm tries to throw up a hook shot and she swats your shit into the front row.
You do have short arms.
I'll get physical. I don't care.
Do they have a registered vertical for her?
No.
I was going to say, I bet they don't even have one.
It's a joke.
Schmidt, honestly, if I were to give you an honest vertical right now, I'd give you 13 inches.
I'm giving him 18.
No.
I'm not giving him
13, 14, 15.
I'm not giving him a fucking hint over 16 inches.
I don't know if I could jump 18 inches.
All right,
that's a good stop.
That's a great stopping point, so it doesn't get off the rails. But yeah, we'll be back Friday with our with our locks. Thank you guys for listening. Peace.